Okay. If that's okay with the assembled Vaishnavas, we'll read verse number, sorry, chapter 2nd and verse 40 on page 113. Second chapter, verse 40, 40, page 113. Kindly repeat after me. Neha Bikrama.
Neha Bikrama.
Nasho Asti.
Nasho Asti.
Neha Bikrama Nasho Asti.
Neha Bikrama Nasho Asti.
Pratyavayo Na Vidyate.
Pratyavayo Na Vidyate.
Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya.
Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya.
Trayate Mahato Bhayat.
Trayate Mahato Bhayat.
Neha Bikrama Nasho Asti.
Neha Bikrama Nasho Asti.
Pratyavayo Na Vidyate.
Pratyavayo Na Vidyate.
Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya.
Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya.
Trayate Mahato Bhayat.
Trayate Mahato Bhayat.
Anybody in the audience want to repeat?
Neha Bikrama Nasho Asti.
Pratyavayo Na Vidyate. Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya. Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Neha Bikrama Nasho Asti. Pratyavayo Na Vidyate. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Mataji's.
Neha vikrama nashosti.
Pratyavayo na vidyate. Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Translation, kindly repeat after me. Na,
na.
There is not.
There is not.
Iha,
iha.
In this yoga.
In this yoga.
Abhikrama.
Abhikrama.
In endeavoring.
In endeavoring.
Nashaha.
Nashaha.
Loss.
Loss.
Asti.
Asti.
There is.
There is.
Pratyavayaha.
Pratyavayaha.
Diminution.
Diminution.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Vidyate.
Vidyate.
There is. Svalpam. A little.
A little.
Api.
Api.
Although.
Also.
Asya.
Asya.
Of this.
Of this.
Dharmasya.
Dharmasya.
Occupation.
Occupation.
Trayate.
Trayate.
Releases.
Releases.
Mahataha.
Mahataha.
From very great.
From very great.
Bhayat.
Bhayat.
Danger.
Danger.
We are reading from page 14 for those who just joined. 114. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport. Activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begin on the material platform has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%, whereas in the material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 5th chapter, 17th verse.
Tyaktva svadharmam charanambujam harer bhajan apakota patetato yadi yatra kvavadram abhut amushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam svadharmataha.
If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or, as the Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world, yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vatsamo nasti papatma, na paradhi cha kaschana, parihare pilajjame, kimbruve purushottama. Bhumau skalita padanam, bhumireva valambanam, Vai jata paradhanam tvameva sharanam prabhu Ananda lila maya vigrahaya Himapa divya cha visundaraya Tasmai maha prema rasa pradaya Shri Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste.
Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody. So we have read from this verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna, he gives some guarantees. Now, everybody in this material world would like to have some guarantees.
Yes. That's how the material world sells. You buy a car, they say, you know, we guarantee it. You know, if something breaks, if something kind of goes wrong, and, you know, we'll fix it. Or we'll, if the car is completely damaged, then you can return it and take it. So there is some sort of guarantee. In the shop, if you go, you'll say, you know, within 90 days or 30 days or whatever is the time, if you don't not satisfied, you bring it back. So for those who have taken up to spiritual life, or for those who have taken up to service of God, really, what's the guarantee? And Krishna says this is the guarantee. That even if you perform a little bit of work, swalpam, very little, alpam means little, swalpam means very, very little, means very, very little. Even if you perform a little bit of percentage of your spiritual life, that is not going to go in vain. So if you come to the temple thinking, oh man, I have wasted my time just coming to the temple to listen to this lecture or to donate something to the devotees, please, don't even for a second think that you have done something wrong. It is you have done everything perfectly right. Because Krishna is guaranteeing here that any little progress you make in your devotional service, that has permanent effect. Really, try to understand, in this material world, whatever you try to do, it does not and it will not have a permanent effect. The effect is there, temporary, even though it may be great for that fraction of time, but all said and done, it's not much of effect. The material world, by the grace of Lord, goes on. And we, as a part and parcels of Lord, have every right, it's our actually birthright, to inquire why are we in this position. Krishna explains in the Gita that we should start asking these questions. Why have I come? From where have I come? What's my position after I leave this world? Is there something beyond this world that I strive to aim or achieve? Or is this life all in all? If this life is all in all, then people who have their desires fulfilled, either in terms of power or prestige or position of society or riches or family life or political success, everything should make them happy. Everything should make them satisfied, because ultimately people in the world are trying to get some happiness, and some people say, if I make billions of dollars, I'll be happy. Or if I get that position which I was aspiring for, I would be happy. Or if I just had that house, or if I had just had that perfect job, or that perfect car, or that perfect situation, I would be happy. But the fact of the matter is, such happiness is there. There is a little bit of happiness. It will give you happiness, but it is temporary. It comes and it goes. The very same thing that was giving you happiness later becomes boring. In fact, in this search of happiness, people are just thinking again and again, if I try something else, I'll be happy. That is the nature of searching for happiness in this material world. Oh, if I do this, I'll be happy. Oh, if I get that, I'll be happy. If I make that relationship, I'll be happy. If I talk to make a lot of friends, I'll be happy. But the point of the matter is, our happiness in this material world is as temporary, as short, as little as we can get. Because Krishna says, you won't be happy here. Try as much, you won't. Why? Because there is a spirit soul. You are this body which we... Now I see that I have body, I have arms, I have legs, I have head. But this is not my complete me. There is this body, there is mind, there is intelligence. And beyond that intelligence, there is the soul, that is me. And that soul, no matter how much of material luxuries, material adjustments is made, that soul is not happy. Please understand, if my statement is wrong, then everybody should be happy. Because we are living in an advanced civilization, we have found so many discoveries, we have found so many inventions, we have made so many appliances to make our life happier. But yet, history or the track record shows, more than ever, the modern man is going to psychiatrists, to psychologists, just to kind of treat their unhappiness, their stress, their boredom. Why? The reason is because the soul within needs some sort of higher engagement. And that higher engagement is understanding, who am I? Where am I coming from? What is this life about? And what is my connection to the life? and where does life end? And what is after? And Krishna says, you are not this body. You have been taking birth and death since time immemorial. Billions and trillions and innumerable numbers of bodies you have passed. Each body you had a family, you had a society, you had riches. And then you gave up, you took on the next body. Again, again, and again, and again. This is the process that you've been going through. Now, at least wake up. Try to understand what is this mystery all about and act in that consciousness. Now, one might say, sir, that's too much. I have a family to maintain. I have a job. I have to still eat. Where is the time? I don't have a whole lot of time. Well, one should understand that Krishna is not asking for entire existence. He knows. He is God. He has seen you. That is another part. Krishna, you've been traversing since time immemorial, taking on different bodies. Body of an animal, body of a bird, body of a human being, body of anything. But Krishna or the Lord or God has been always within your heart, seeing you, always been with you. And he says that just this lifetime, a little bit of effort you put towards me. You try to understand me. You try to come to me. And then Krishna says, this is my guarantee, that the greatest fear of life, which is this repeated birth and death, you will be taken care of, you will be protected. Because this world is a difficult place. After death, you don't know where you're going to go, what sort of body you're going to get. It is said the greatest fear in this world is not fear of disease, is not fear of poverty, is not fear of losing job. The greatest fear is fear of unknown. What is that's going to happen in the future? That fear of unknown, Krishna is pacifying. Here he's saying, don't worry. A little bit of effort on your part, and you can be assured that you're saved from the greatest danger. And what is that little effort? Now you may ask, okay, good. Tell me some concrete things I can do for that thing. The concrete thing in this age is that we can chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a practical engagement for the soul. There is no hard rules, there is no fast rules, there is no you have to take bath and you have to be very, very ready to. Anytime you can chant. You can chant while you're driving, while cooking. Practically any situation, there is no rule saying that you can't. You can chant. And then by doing that a little bit, little, then one can actually understand what God is. Otherwise, this material world, one cannot make permanent solution. History is replete with those facts. There have been great, great people, right from time immemorial. People have been making big arrangements. I'll be safe. I want to be safe in the world. But history has shown that nobody is actually safe. Nobody can be very safe in this world. Now, somebody might say, look, you are filling us with too much fear. That's what you are doing. You know, you are putting so much of negativity in it. You know, it's very unrealistic. But no, sir, this is a fact. It's not something negative. The more one wakes to that fact, the more one is able to actually progress. For example, you're traversing in a particular road, or you're taking a hike, for example, and then somebody comes back and says, hey, don't go on this path. There is a mountain lion. We're ready to eat you. So will you say that person is filling you with negativity, or is he you'll say, thank you, you helped me. The same way, this is the situation of material existence. One takes a little bit to the spiritual life, then one is be assured, guarantees. Otherwise, in this material world, there is no real guarantee, is there? Is there a guarantee of job? Ha, you're joking. Is there a guarantee that there'll be no disease? Again, not so good. Is there a guarantee that life will be always peaceful? No, life will be stressful. In this material world, there is no real guarantee. But Krishna gives this guarantee. And you should realize one thing. A salesman can give you guarantee. Your boss can give you guarantee. But their guarantee is not effective. When Krishna gives the guarantee, nobody. When I said nobody, nobody can actually take that guarantee away from Krishna. Because he is God, when he says, his word is almighty, all completely powerful. There is nobody to stop him. And when he makes the promise, it is ultimate. In this material world, people make promises. They have good intentions. They have the best of wishes for the heart for others. But more often than not, they may or may not be able to keep the promise. But Krishna's promise is never in vain. So his words, when he says that, just take up to this path a little bit, you will not fail. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, there is no harm. You are not paying any money to chant. You are not like exerting yourself. You are not putting a lot of physical effort, mental effort. Just chanting. That's good enough for a starting point. Because one should understand that the basic principle of spiritual existence is, I am something beyond who I think I am. That is the thirst, that is the quest. That it is just not who I see as myself that I am. There is something more to me. And that more is the soul or the Atma, and that is craving a higher engagement beyond this material world. And that engagement is devotional service or our spiritual life, seeking after our spiritual life. Any questions, any comments so far? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I was wondering, what does Ajnata Sukriti also count as the Svalpam or...
Okay. So can you elaborate the question? I mean...
Like someone may be arranging for air tickets for Maharaj, and the person who makes those arrangements may not be a devotee. So does that also count as his spiritual life has started? Or
yes, the question was that anybody who unknowingly comes into contact with a devotee or some spiritual service or something like that, does he get a benefit? Yes, he does get a benefit, because Srila Prabhupada gave us a very interesting example. Now, for those who are not from India, it may be a little difficult to comprehend, but I'll try to make it as comprehensible as possible. Now, in India, there are many temples, many, many, many temples. And in temples, sometimes there are rodents or rats. Now, in most of the temple, in India, the custom is that there is a lamp which is lighted for the Lord or the deity in the temple. Now, that particular lamp, it has a giwik. A giwik is like a string, and then you put it in the lamp, you put ghee on it, and then you light the lamp. As long as the ghee is there, then the lamp will burn. Or, because there is a lamp and the giwik is protruding out of the lamp, till it burns this point, then the lamp will burn. After that, what you have to do is you have to push the giwik a little bit so that the giwik comes out and then the lamp starts burning. This is familiar to most of you, but for those who are not, I'm just giving you. So a rat. Now, a rat is a rat. It just goes around, tries to find food. The giwik was at the tip and it was about to put out the lamp. But the rat somehow was scurrying by to find food. Accidentally, it touched the giwik so that the giwik protruded and the lamp started burning again. That is service by the rat to the Lord without the rat knowing it. So, the Ajna Sukriti are unknown pious deeds, unknown spiritual pious deeds can take many forms. One doesn't even know. So, yes. Thank you. More questions, more comments.
And also, many of the, especially Indians, have names of God as their names, like Krishna, Rama. And we come here and many are calling us with their names. They don't know that it's the name of a God, or they have no intention of chanting the name of God, but still they are uttering those names. So they also get some Ajnata Sukriti because of that.
Yes, thank you. Sure, sure, definitely.
So we were out on book distribution yesterday, and I knocked at the door, and there was a lady wearing a cross, and I showed her my the book pack, and she looked at it, and she said, okay, so I was out at book distribution yesterday, and so I knocked at the door, and it was opened by a lady who was wearing a cross, and so I showed her I gave her the small book pack, and so she looked at it, and she said, Krishna, I'm not interested in it.
Very nice.
That's also, very nice. You know, Agyat Sukriti.
Very nice. Because just to chant, actually, one might think, she just chanted the names of Krishna. What's the big deal about it? Actually, there is, we all know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is, you know, Madan Mohan, Radharani, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna himself. And Sri Mahaprabhu was traveling throughout India, and then he came to Benares or Varanasi. And in Varanasi, at that time, 500 years ago, was the capital of those who believe in the impersonal philosophy or the monistic philosophy. And Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi. He was chanting and dancing with his fellow associates and devotees. And the Mayavadis were criticizing him for doing that. And they vented their frustration or complaints against Mahaprabhu to a particular Brahman or a priestly class person. And they were complaining about him in every possible way, but the beauty was they never even mentioned the name of Krishna once. His name was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. They told him Chaitanya was doing this, Chaitanya was doing that, Chaitanya this, Chaitanya that. But they never uttered the name of Krishna. And then this particular Brahman was astonished. He went back to Mahaprabhu. He says, they were complaining about you and they were vilifying you. It caused deep pain to my heart. But the weird part was that they were talking about you so much, yet they didn't utter the name of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, because they are offenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, they won't and don't have the capacity to utter the names of Krishna. So uttering the names of Krishna, which seems to be a very, very simple thing to do, is actually a pretty exalted thing. It's not an easy thing. But one might question, really? That easy? Well, God gives discounts. What can we say? Because the age we are in is called Kali Yuga, which means age of quarrel. We have passed through about 5,000 years. There are still about 427,000 years before a devastation happens. Because some people said that, you know, it is going to happen in 2012. Sorry. Definitely not. According to Vedic scriptures, it won't happen. Trust me. For another 400... You think it's an easy way out here just by the devastation? Ain't going to happen. It's like 427,000 years still to go before the devastation. And that is one cycle, which is Kali Yuga. Before that is... it's called Dwapara Yuga. Dwapara Yuga, there is a cycle of yugas. First is Satya Yuga, then Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. Now, Satya Yuga, the lifespan of a human being was about 100,000 years. They could live for thousands of years. And the way to achieve spiritual perfection was to meditate. So when we hear in the books that a person performed meditation for thousands of years, it's not mythology. It was a fact, because at that time the lifespan of the living beings was very long. Now, the next yuga was Treta Yuga. And Treta Yuga, the lifespan reduced by a factor of 10. From 1 lakh years or 100,000 years, the lifespan of the human being became 10,000 years. At that time, meditation was not way to achieve spiritual perfection, but we had to do sacrifices, huge sacrifices, and have perfect mantras. The brahmana should be present, the ghee, everything had to be perfect. You perform sacrifices to please the Lord and achieve spiritual perfection. Now, in the next yuga, which is Dwapara Yuga, the lifespan of the human being was shortened by a factor of 10, which is the lifespan became 1,000 years. Thank you. And then at that time, the means to achieve spiritual perfection was to do gorgeous, very, very gorgeous deity worship. And they would build nice temples for the Lord and have very nice deity worship. Then we come to our present yuga, which is Kali Yuga. And the factor of life is reduced by again 10. So the lifespan of the human being is? There you go. And if somebody lives 105 years, he's in newspapers all over the world. And people are seeking after him. So, sir, please tell me, you know, what's the secret of your longevity? And that man says, no, I just do this, I do that, whatever. So that is the Kali Yuga, which is 100 years. If you live, it's like a big achievement. So, really, tell me, can we do meditation in this age of yoga for achieving spiritual perfection? I doubt it. Because of the simple fact that situation is not suitable. I mean, forget the earth. Even if you go to space, there is junk in space. We have polluted to that point. Even if you say this earth is useless, I can't do meditation, yeah, I'll go to space, there is still junk in the space. Go to Himalayas, there's like plastic bags littered all over the place. There is no like, you know, a calm place to go and actually do meditation. Besides, in this modern age, the bodies also are not suitable for performing meditation. Because at one time, the human beings had the bodies. They had the bodies to actually sit for thousands of years on meditation without food and water. Here, try that for like few days. You will end up with either diabetes or blood pressure or something. That's the nature of Kali. So, not fun. And actually, just not going to a place and doing meditation, Sri Krishna gives so many restrictions on where to go, what place to choose, what are the paraphernalia. There's so many things. And the biggest thing, celibacy. Oh my God. Yeah. It's one of the requirements of that meditation process. So, in this age, it's not possible to do meditation. Impossible. What about fire sacrifice? The ghee we get is adulterated, first thing. Useless. How many brahmanas are there who can actually say the mantra exactly? Forget that. How about time? Because if you perform at a wrong time and say wrong mantra, then the results of the sacrifice are exactly opposite. Because it's there in Bhagavatam. You know, they were performing a sacrifice for Indra. Right, and they said something. He was performing for sacrifice for the enemies of Indra, and then the priest, somehow or other, he mixed up the words, and the benefit of the sacrifice went to the exactly opposite person. It has to be that right, exact mantra, otherwise useless. Ghee has to be there, the time has to be there, all the paraphernalia has to be there. Not, otherwise, there's yajna means it becomes campfire only, and it's not yajna. The problem with the campfire is that if you do it in the midday, you won't even get the heat because you have to face the sweat and then the campfire. It's not even doing at night at a cold place. So in the modern days, you know, it's very difficult to do proper yajnas. It's very difficult because there are certain restrictions, not willy-nilly. Not that I do, I know most of the congregation is Indian, but for those who are not, there is a very famous game in India called cricket, and there was a world championship which happened recently. So we had people putting in the photos of the sports stars and having fire sacrifice for them. They were the yajmans or the gods, and then there was a fire sacrifice done. Why? Because we should win the World Cup. It doesn't happen. So these are things. Kali Yuga, you know, when we try to use a good thing and apply it in a distorted way, we get the results are really different. So it's impossible to do fire sacrifices in the age of Kali Yuga. Okay, what about temple, deity worship? Really, well, sir, we have so much of time to do. I don't think we can actually, really, to do deity worship is, again, very, 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 like, pakka rules, regulations, they all come, you should know what they are. You should offer the deity certain way, you should cook them in certain way, you should, everything is has to be so perfect. That too, kind of difficult. It's there, but a little difficult. Man, so Kali Yuga, then that's it. You know, spiritual life you're talking about is useless because all these methods you've described, God is really cruel. Otherwise, he's going to give us the Kali Yuga atmosphere, give us so much of insurance, this, insurance, that, mortgage this, house price that, house value has gone down, job gone, so much of stress. I still have to do spiritual life. God is like not, no, he gives concession, he gives discount. In this age of Kali Yuga, he says, just chant my names and you'll get the same result. So the beauty of this age is such that even the demigods from heaven, they say, okay, we want to come in this age of Kali Yuga and take birth. You should realize one more thing. Now, we talked about this cycle, rotation, right? This is like, there is the four cycles and they keep on going in a cyclic fashion. 1,000 of those cycles constitute one day of Brahma. So Brahma lives for a fantastically long time, 311 trillion years. And actually, I would be really, really surprised that how many acres of cake you need for the last birthday of Brahma. 300 trillion 42 billion years, candles. And I don't know how much power he needs to blow all those candles. He is powerful enough, don't worry. I think he can blow, that's not the problem. The point we are trying to make is that Brahma lives for a very long time. And in one day of Brahma, there are 1,000 cycles. And Krishna appears only once in the day of Brahma. That appearance has happened 5,000 years ago. And after Krishna comes, the next avatar is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also comes only once in the day of Brahma. So he came 500 years ago to inaugurate this golden age of Kali Yuga, wherein people are just blessed with the highest thing. That is very hidden. Even you try your best, you cannot get that particular secret from the scriptures as Mahaprabhu is freely giving out to everybody. So we are very fortunate in that sense that we are born in an age where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and it's our, let's say it's our bound duty to actually take advantage and become happy. We can go on and on and on, but Rakshit Prabhu, should I stop now?
Yes, are there any more questions for Shiva? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for patiently listening. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.